This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Well, it's the big show.
Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Yes, it is the Wendy's Big Show on a Football Friday. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with the one and only Bart Winkler, live from Caddish Park for the 10th annual Walk for Health and Wellness with United Neighborhood Centers of Milwaukee. Lots to get to with you throughout a green and gold Friday. No, a football Friday afternoon. That took me a minute from my first screw-up. Ben Fennell of The Athletic Wisconsin. He'll join us at 2:48. Go in the film room with him. Talk some Green Bay Packers at 3 o'clock. There's now another guy on the trading block that every Packers fan wants, and he's not worth it. Tom Kesnick, the godfather of fantasy football, he takes your questions at 4 o'clock. You can start tweeting those questions right now at 105.7FM The Fan with the hashtag BigFantasy. And Ryan Wood, our Green Bay football insider, he joins us at 2:48. Leroy Butler is going to leap in on the fun right around 3 o'clock. Out of the gates, we want to ask you what we ask you every Football Friday here on the Wendy's Big Show. What are you confident, concerned, and curious about in Sunday's game against the Redskins? Packers fans, 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7FM The Fan. Hi, Bart.
Rami, good to be here, my man.
We weren't sure if we'd see each other again for months because Chuck doesn't take time off in the fall and winter, as you told me, so I wasn't going to get a crack at the morning show in a while. But Sparky, a little under the weather today. Gary with the knee replacement surgery. Oof. So here you are.
Yeah, and
here you are.
And thank you, too, for filling in as many times as you did.
No problemo, my friend.
On the morning show. We're always happy to have you.
We even put the show right in front of a soccer pitch for you. Notice I didn't call it a field. Soccer pitch.
Yep, and just like most soccer fields I see, no one's on it.
Out here at Caddish Park. We wanted to...
there's a lot going on out here, just no one's on the soccer field.
Since Bart was kind enough to give us a portion of his afternoon and sit in on the Wendy's Big Show today, he had a special treat for us, a little something that we often do on the Wendy's Big Show. It's called Barnack the Magnificent. It's a take on the old Johnny Carson Karnak sketch, and but just one joke, just one Barnack joke that Bart thought of on the way here. So if you will, oh great one, please enlighten us with your wisdom and soothsaying.
I will put the envelope to my head.
Yes.
It reads, Christian Yelich.
Christian Yelich.
And Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
And Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
When these guys have a day off, my day gets progressively worse.
Hey-o!
Thank you. Thank you. No, it's good to be here with you. And we will be back on Monday morning, Chuck and I. And you're always welcome to come in on the Green and Gold Monday. We've got Adam McKelvey. So we're still doing baseball on the Green and Gold Monday. That's at 7 o'clock in the morning on Monday after the weekend. Michael Cohen, our insider of The Athletic, at 7:35. I'm excited to talk to Ben in about a half hour.
Yeah, you're a big fan of his.
Yeah, dude.
You told me that his little breakdown of the Packers' use of tight ends after week one.
Right.
Was the finest piece of journalism
I did say that.
That you've ever seen.
And I was actually wrong because the one he just put out this week is now the finest. And I know you guys might not know much about The Athletic or you don't subscribe yet, but
you should.
For his stuff alone.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael's great. The Badger guys are great. The Brewers guys great. But for Ben's stuff alone, I mean, there's like video breakdown. They do the routes of the guys.
It's
like Madden intertwined with an article.
But he does it in a way, and not a lot of guys can do this. Another guy who's great at it is Matt Bowen, who's now on NFL Matchup on ESPN. They present it in a way that's consumable to the layman, to the Bart and Rami, who never played that level of football.
No.
We can actually comprehend – what these guys are saying and what they're trying to accomplish in their game plans and out there on the field. That's not an easy thing to do. For somebody who's a savant at watching film and breaking it down, it's not easy to explain it in a way that you and I can understand it.
No, and it's really good, and it's really worth, and I'll tell them this, it's worth the price of the subscription alone, or at least getting someone's password, or at least asking Rami for my password for The Athletic. It's at least
that's what I did.
Getting here. You have it too?
Yeah, jeez. Last couple of weeks. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Okay, yeah, no problem. It's at least putting your eyes on it somehow, some way. It's really good stuff. So I'm excited to talk to him in about a half hour.
Outstanding. And we always look forward to talking to Ben Fennell of The Athletic. Again, that's coming up at 2:48. But, again, out of the gates, what are you confident, concerned, and curious about in Sunday's game against the Redskins? Hey, Billy, did Mike Clemens stick around to sit in on the Wendy's
Big Clemens, Show? Mike Clemens had to dip out of here. Sorry about that.
He said an invite.
He said actually it was more Bart Winkler is the reason he left.
Oh, well, I get that.
Fair.
On some level. Yeah. All right. So, Bart, what are you confident about in Sunday's game against these Redskins?
I'm confident that the Redskins are not going to put up 20 points. And so the Packers should be able to win this game. That's a team that when they went into Arizona, I felt good about the Redskins getting a win over there. I thought that was a nice little upset alert because they were actually underdogs. Arizona was actually favored in this season, believe it or not. They did not score a week ago. The Redskins, though, with Alex Smith, I thought this is a guy that's always doubted. He's always looked down upon. And yet he gets the job done. He had a nice run there at the end in Kansas City before they moved on to somebody younger, and we're finding out maybe a little better in Patrick Mahomes. But then they come back to FedEx Field last week and put up a real dud against the Colts, and that's a team that's been known for having a bad defense pretty much forever. I mean,
right.
Who's the best defender that's ever played for the Colts?
Bob Sanders.
Bob Sanders,
probably.
In my lifetime, Dwight Freeney.
Oh, there was Dwight Freeney.
I
retract that statement.
So let's, you know, get to our thumb. We can. I mean, there's not one, two, three. It's not a lot of people. So, and they've continued that tradition in Indianapolis to this day. Redskins put up 9 points. I know that there's some concerns with the Packers' defense, and I'll touch on those at some point as well, but I just don't see the Redskins putting up more than 20 in this game. The Packers really held the Vikings to under 20 until that pass interference call, and they were able to keep the Bears around 23 after they were completely caught off guard, but then came back against Chicago on Sunday Night Football. I'm just confident the Redskins are not going to put up 20 points, so all I need is for the Packers to score 21 and they'll win this football game. And Aaron Rodgers, knee, no knee, whatever he may be, he's going to be healthy enough to play and put up at least 21 points. So I'm confident that the Redskins will not put up the 20, and therefore the Packers will do enough to win this game.
What are you confident, concerned, and curious about? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. I'm confident, and no spoiler. I know how much people hate spoilers in 2018 and the Netflix and Hulu age, but we record those prediction videos that you so expertly put up on our Facebook and Twitter feeds if folks ever want to check them out. And I predicted a big day for Mike Pettine's defense, and part of that I think will be shutting down what I think is the only real legitimate threat or weapon on that Redskins offense, and it's only when he's healthy, is Jordan Reed. I think Jordan Reed is a little bit underestimated as far as tight ends go because he can't stay on the field.
Yeah.
But when he is, I'm not going to put him in a class with Gronkowski, because I think when Gronk is healthy and at his peak, he's in a different class than almost any tight end. But he's a Jimmy Graham. When he's healthy and he can stay on the field, he's a Jimmy Graham type of threat and weapon out there for an offense on the field. But I'm confident because of what I've seen from Josh Jackson and Mike Pettine's scheme in the first couple weeks, in terms of the way that they can shut down tight ends, that they're going to be able to at least contain and hold Jordan Reed down. And a lot of that comes back to Josh Jackson. I was just reading a piece at PackersNews.com this morning about how they're using Josh Jackson in a way that you can't really use a lot of cornerbacks, and that's to cover these big, physical, athletic tight ends who are essentially just large wide receivers. And Josh Jackson is big enough to keep up with those guys and athletic enough to keep up with those guys. And in the first 2 weeks, Packers have faced two pretty good tight ends, one in Trey Burton, who, yeah, hasn't done a lot at this level, but on Fantasy Football Weekly, presented by Dave and Buster's every Sunday from 10 to noon here on The Fan with Rami Makhlouf and Tim Allen, I predicted Trey Burton to be the breakout tight end this year and that guy to take the next step at that position. And they held him down, even for everything else that the Bears offense was able to do in the first half. You really didn't hear from Trey Burton. And then in game two, Kyle Rudolph didn't really hear his name getting called a lot either. It was Thielen and Diggs that were killing you along the sidelines. I'm confident that the Packers should be able to shut down or at least contain the most dangerous guy on that Washington offense, and Jordan Reed and Josh Jackson doing the bulk of the work on that.
Well, one of the reasons why, too, Rami, is that Mike Pettine and the defense can focus on Jordan Reed because the wide receivers have been a disappointment. You've got Josh Doctson, who he's got to figure it out, the TCU product, otherwise he's going to be considered a bust. Jamison Crowder has what I call Rod Gardner disease. Like 7 years ago, Rod Gardner, a former Redskin, Rod Gardner was in a fantasy league where he was on seven different teams in seven different weeks. He'd keep getting cut, and then you think, but his matchup this week. You cut him again, but his matchup this week. If there's fantasy owners out there, and I know there are, Jamison Crowder has been on your team at least once for 2 weeks, and then you cut him. That's the Rod Gardner disease. Paul Richardson came over. We haven't heard much from him. They just don't have a lot of weapons on the outside to hide or break free Jordan Reed somewhere in the middle. So they don't have those other targets. With Jimmy Graham, at least you have Devontae and you have Cobb and you have Geronimo now who's coming on. To look at Jimmy Graham as somebody that, maybe he'll be the third option on this play for the defense. But Jordan Reed for the Packers is always going to be the number one guy they're looking at when Alex Smith goes to the passing game. And he's a guy that keeps things 5-10 yards in terms of passes anyway. So I'm with you. I don't expect a big play too often from Jordan Reed. I'd like to see who they're going to cover on him, whether it's Jackson. Maybe you see a little Blake Martinez on him, maybe a linebacker here and there. Oren Burks should be ready to go, so we'll see if he gets that assignment. But I'm with you. Jordan Reed, nice guy, good season, good stats when he can get in there. But if the Packers and Mike Pettine are going to have a week to do anything, I think it's going to be trying to shut down Jordan
Reed. And the Packers have faced teams in the first 2 weeks that have better threats at the wide receiver position that the defense had to worry about. Week one, you had Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel on the outside, and still they were able to shut down Trey Burton. Week two, obviously, you're going up against Thielen and Diggs, maybe the best
tandem.
How good
do you think Taylor Gabriel is?
I think he's good enough to be a two or a three on a good offense.
All right.
I'm not setting my hopes too high. And he's a guy who you can use in a lot of different ways. They can line him up in the backfield.
Is Kevin White ever going to play down in Chicago?
Plays. I don't think so.
Kevin White, I need him.
I feel terrible for that kid, dude. He's just, from everything I hear, just the nicest dude, hardest working dude, and every time he steps on a football field, a bone breaks. Come on, man.
That sucks.
Give this guy a break. But going back to what I was saying, they've had wide receivers to worry about and still were able to shut down good tight ends. With Washington, you don't even have those wide receivers to worry about, as you were just saying, Bart. So I don't think Jordan Reed should pose too much of a problem for the Packers this Sunday. Baby Tausch, back in the studio. Bill Schmidt, what are you confident about in this game on Sunday?
I'm pretty confident in the over, guys. At 47.5, I think there's going to be a lot of points put up in this game. But
really?
3-point road favorite. I'm definitely going with the Packers.
The over-under is 47.5?
Yeah, 47.5.
No, I take the under.
Yeah, I don't think that hits, Billy.
I'm not a gambler, but look at that run game.
And look at when these two quarterbacks get going. The two guys that were taken in the 05 draft, Rodgers and Alex Smith, they always put up big numbers against each other.
I said 27-16 on our video.
I said 24-10.
Yeah.
I hate spoilers. Like we're going to give our predictions later on the big show.
I'm thinking like 31-17, 31-21. There's going to be some points.
So then you're just going to get over.
I know the over's more fun to take,
but I would take the under.
Yeah, I'm taking the under on that all day, man. I'm confident in the under.
Well, we'll see.
Hey, but it's your
money.
See.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see whose pocketbook is lighter. I mean, I know mine's already going to be substantially lighter than you two gentlemen, but we'll see.
You have a pocketbook?
Well,
I think you're doing better than I am.
Yeah, I mean,
it's better than I am.
It's actually the change compartment in my car. I just like to make it sound a little cooler. Sorry.
It's your Bovada account with 55 cents in it.
Yeah. And
is that your pocket?
52 of them are Tim's, so.
What are you confident, concerned, and curious about? Are all your confident, concerned, and curious going to be gambling related? Because I'd appreciate it if they were, baby. Tosh,
two of the three so far.
Up.
Yeah, I can work it up, though.
414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM, the Fan. Baby Tausch sort of touched on my concern in this game going up against the Redskins on Sunday. How about you, Barton Winkler, sitting in on the Wendy's Big Show on a Football Friday? We are live out here at Caddish Park, East North Avenue, for the 10th annual Help Walk for Health and Wellness for the United Neighborhood Centers of Milwaukee. What are you holding up fingers for? 11th annual? The flyer I'm looking at says 10th annual.
They tell me 11th.
Is it the 11th? Is this an old flyer? I'm Ron Burgundy. I just read what they give me. Wendy's Big Show will be right back. It's the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with Bart Winkler, live from Caddish Park on East North Avenue for the 11th annual Walk for Health and Wellness with the United Neighborhood Centers of Milwaukee. Leroy Butler will be out here at about 3:30. Come on out, join in the festivities, help out a great cause. It's a Football Friday on the Fan, and we're asking you what we ask you every Football Friday. What are you confident, concerned, and curious about when it comes to Packers and Redskins Sunday afternoon? 414-799-1250 or tweet us at 105.7 FM, the Fan. We'll go in the film room with Ben Fennell of The Athletic coming up at 2:48. At 2:35, might have to talk about these Bucks rumors that just started circulating. I know it's a Football Friday, but this is, I don't want to say newsworthy of our time on a Football Friday, but a rumor worthy of our time on a Football Friday. Would you agree?
When can we work in anything Baker Mayfield?
Whenever you want. You can work it into confident, concerned, and curious if you want. I know you're crushing hard on Baker Mayfield today. So
I was up till 12:30 watching him do interviews on the postgame show.
You work a morning show. What do
I
you mean?
I don't care. I got as much joy out of watching him do interviews than I did watching him lead the Browns to a comeback. 26 years to the day that Favre came in.
Oh, boy.
And relieved a starter.
Oh, boy.
For his first win.
To the day, huh?
To the day.
I didn't know that. Where'd you get that little tidbit from?
My fact-a-day, Favre fact-a-day calendar.
I believe you actually have one of those.
Was that the giveaway at this year's shareholders meeting, Bart?
Yeah, except they give away the one from 10 years ago.
It's the 2008 Favre fact-a-day calendar.
Yeah, and it's in purple and gold, too. That sucked.
Baby Tausch touched on what I was concerned about before the break there when he was talking about the over-under. And while they don't have receivers that you really have to worry about in Washington, they do have a pretty good tandem of running backs out there in the nation's capital with Chris Thompson and Adrian Peterson. And Chris Thompson can catch the football out of the backfield. That's a guy who can do some damage in the passing game, and we haven't really. Dalvin Cook, I guess, can do some things in the passing game, but that hasn't seemed to have been a huge part of the Vikings' offensive game plan. We haven't seen them go up against a team and a running back who really, that's a big part of their identity, and what they do is throwing the ball to the running back. Chris Thompson is a threat out of the backfield, and Adrian Peterson, well, he's not the Adrian Peterson of his younger days, but I got to say I've been surprised and somewhat proven wrong by what I've seen from the guy first in the preseason and then so far in the first 2 weeks of the regular season. He's proven himself to be serviceable and at least a guy who can be an effective number two when Chris Thompson needs a breather. Adrian Peterson can come in there and just pound away at you and still show some flashes of what he used to be. That running game of the Redskins is what I'm most concerned about when it comes to Packers and Redskins on Sunday. How about you, Bart?
Yeah, I thought AP was done 2 years ago, and he's still got something left in the tank, and I've been impressed by that. I thought he turned more into a fullback, really, than anything else, but his average is still about 3.1 yards a carry, so he's not as explosive as he was, but he's somebody to look at. Chris Thompson, I wonder how much of that is them trying to spotlight him as a receiving back or how much of that is them having few other options and Alex Smith liking to throw it underneath.
That's true.
Anyway, but still, if you're going to get the ball 13 times as a receiver, there is some value to you, and that's what Chris Thompson did a week ago. I think my concern is the pass rush again because there isn't one. Now, this might be a game where they don't need to rely on it as much, but you've got two guys that you're paying $10 million-plus to in Clay Matthews and Nick Perry, and I'm not automatically a guy that when one of our athletes makes more than $10 million, we, like, turn on him, which has happened with Braun, and it happened to Middleton right away. Mm-hmm. It's happened to Hawk and Perry. Anytime anybody makes $10 million, Tony Snell, although that's maybe more justified.
Salmons, don't forget John Salmons.
I mean, anytime, it's like that 10 million threshold. It's we come after him with a little more fire. But Nick Perry, you guys have made a joke about it already, but I'm a Packers shareholder. Mm-hmm. I've loved this team. I've watched this team for 34 years. I follow this team. I cover this team. We did segments all August on the morning show, Chuck and Winkler, about the Packers depth chart. So I knew everybody 1 through 90. I watched that game on Sunday. Never thought of Nick Perry once. Completely escaped my mind. You could have shown me a picture of his face. I would have said, yeah, I don't know. I go to high school with that guy or something. I would have not known who it was. He completely disappears. Against the run, he's better than against the pass. But if you're going to pay him that much, obviously you're investing into him for a reason.
Did Sparky, like, possess you today? Like, you couldn't show up for the show, so he possessed you with his Nick Perry hate? Are you going to rail on Ryan Braun and Eric?
Well, last week I said one thing offhand about Ha-Ha Clinton Dix on the morning show, and it's a two-hour topic on this program.
Half an hour.
You never let me.
Half an hour.
Never let me clear up what I was saying.
Clear it up. Go ahead. You're here.
Nah, I'm done with him. But Nick Perry's got to figure it out because they need him, and they need Clay Matthews. And the best those guys are is when they feed off each other, and they're both in there.
For all the talk about the Clay Matthews roughing the passer penalty at the end of the game, I didn't think it was a roughing the passer, but at the same point, that was pretty much the first time we heard Clay Matthews' name for four quarters.
Well, so here's – I mean, if you follow me on Twitter, at WinksThinks, I had a really tough day Sunday. I'm trying to not – tweet too much during the games because I get more sucked into Twitter than I do the actual games.
That happens to me all the time.
It's just no way.
You stop paying attention to the game.
It's just no way to live.
You're tweeting about the last thing that happened, and you missed the next thing that happened.
Right, and then I get mad at one tweet, and then the next day on Monday's show, it's basically a big F you to a guy that's not even listening because he's a fake account that lives in New Jersey or something. So I got to do better at that. But when it initially happened,
be better.
My first thought on Clay was I was mad at Clay because for 2 weeks he's got two hits on the quarterback and both of them have been called. I think I'm mad because Clay really lost a step and maybe he's a little quicker. Maybe he gets to Kirk Cousins where it's not as vague. Or maybe he just has more awareness. And in that play, there's really – nothing you can do. But let's say it happens again. Let's say it's 4th and 10 to Washington again, and Clay Matthews is a roughing the passer again. Even if it's the worst call of all time, there's got to be some blame on Clay. They've got to figure it out. And the fact that it really was only the second time he's had a quarterback all year, I was frustrated about that. And had his name been called more, had he been more proactive during the game, maybe I wouldn't view it that way. Those guys got to step it up. They don't have a guy quick enough. And that's why it is a bummer. I'm not going to say it's frustrating. They certainly win for Khalil Mack, but the Bears made a better offer, and that's the one that they took. But you see why they would have entertained that in the first place, because they just don't have a pass rush. I don't think it will cost them in this game, but I'm concerned that it's going to cost them at some point in the season. So I would like to see it at least show some signs of life against a team where it should show some signs of life against.
So the pass rush is what you're concerned about. And I think rightly so. They really have not shown much of one through the first 2 weeks of the season. And we talked about this earlier in the week on the show, Bart, that all this talk that we heard from Mike Pettine and the Packers about his defensive scheme in the preseason, two things that have not come to fruition. One was the design blitzes and stunts that he was so good at making. He has this beautiful mind when it comes to drawing up blitzes. And there is a free guy. Remember Aaron Rodgers talking in the preseason about facing Mike Pettine's defense? There's a free guy on every play. We just don't know what to do. There's a free guy on every play. We can't figure this out. Have you seen a lot of free guys out of Mike Pettine's schemes, his stunts, his blitzes?
That's a good one for Ben Fennell coming up at 248 because he did a little piece on Pettine. And I see what you like on third down is that there's about six or seven guys in the box. And you don't know who's going to rush or who's going to drop back. But based on if I interpreted Ben's article right, I feel like that free guy has typically been dropping back more, and you're not seeing the blitz or the rush as much. So that'd be a good one to pick Ben's brain in a little bit. But, yeah, I did want more. I wanted more flash, I think, more sacks, more blitzing from Pettine's defense right now, and maybe it's just a point where he doesn't have the personnel right now.
What are you confident, concerned, and curious about? Let's get Mike in Kenosha in real quick at 414-799-1250. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I just don't think anybody's going anywhere when their superstar is hurt. I mean, if LeBron James had a bad ankle injury, you know, the Cavs aren't beating anybody. That's just the way it is, man. And we're going to have to go through it, and he's going to either get hurt worse or he's going to stay the same, and we're not going anywhere this year. Thanks.
Appreciate the call.
That seemed like out of context.
Well, it sounds like he has a concern, and it's that the Packers can't win football games with a hobbled
like
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
Wow.
It seemed like that was a call like 2 weeks ago. That was.
I want to get to this this Bucks rumor that's out there, and it is concerning the name that everybody has been talking about in the NBA for the last couple of days. Quickly, Baby Tosh, what's your concern in this one? We'll save our curious for later in the show, but what's your concern in this one, sir?
Well, I mean, you guys talked me into my concern that the over wasn't going to hit, which I thought was a lock about 3 hours ago. But my concern would be how much Oren Burks and Blake Martinez are able to cover up Chris Thompson out of the backfield. What you guys were talking about, that dude can catch a lot of balls out of the backfield. And Alex Smith, one of the checkdown kings in the NFL, if anybody's going to try to get it to Thompson out of the backfield and they're going to run AP first and second down quite a bit, I guess it's how much the linebackers are going to be able to be a key factor.
All right, we'll get back into the Packers with Ben Fennell of The Athletic. He's coming up at 2:48. We'll go in the film room with him, see if he's seeing any of these schemes and design blitzes from Mike Pettine that we heard so much about in the preseason. But there's a Bucks rumor out there, and we're going to discuss it next on the Wendy's Big Show. It's a Football Friday. We are live from the 11th Annual Walk for Health and Wellness with the United Neighborhood Centers of Milwaukee at Caddish Park, 909 East North Avenue, and we're back right after this. It's Wendy's Big Show live from Caddish Park, 909 East North Avenue for the 11th Annual Walk for Health and Wellness with the United Neighborhood Centers of Milwaukee. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with Bart Winkler, Ben Fennell of The Athletic, Wisconsin. Go in the film room with him coming up at 2:48. Leroy Butler will arrive. He'll leap into the action right around 3:30. It is a Football Friday here on the Wendy's Big Show and on the Fan, but there is a Bucks rumor out there that I think is worth mentioning. I don't know about you, Bart, but I think this is worth mentioning, despite the fact that it is a Football Friday. We've heard the last few days that Jimmy Butler has requested a trade from the Minnesota Timberwolves. I saw you essentially tweet that you would trade, now I'm paraphrasing, tell me if I'm getting this wrong, anybody but Giannis to get Jimmy Butler in a Bucks uniform. Am I mischaracterizing you there?
Oh, no, I just think that to get Jimmy Butler, the Bucks should take all the contracts that I don't like and all the players that I don't like.
Uh-huh.
And trade him for the player that I do like.
And didn't you say you'd even give up a few that you do like to get him?
You think of a different Bart Winkler, man. I don't know what you're talking about, honestly.
Well, according to Zach Lowe of ESPN.
I'd play along, but I misrepresented enough on this godforsaken show.
He said the Bucks. That is not true. The
good
Bucks
save,
placed
Bart,
a
good save.
Courtesy, quote, keep us in the loop call with Minnesota, sources say, in a package built around Chris Middleton, also set to be a free agent, and one future asset, a pick, Thon Maker, something. Makes sense. I just don't see it, says Zach Lowe. Milwaukee has a better chance of retaining Middleton than they'd have with Butler. Is that a move you would make? That's Middleton, a pick, Thon?
Well, here's the problem with that move. You would have to extend Jimmy Butler. And are you going to extend Jimmy Butler? If you're not, then don't do it, because then you'd be giving up Middleton, who, as Zach Lowe noted, would be more likely to stay than Butler. Thon, who I'm not giving up on yet.
Me neither.
I mean, did you watch him in the FIBA tournament? He need a guy in the face.
That was pretty impressive.
That's what I want. And then a pick, and we've given up enough picks. This is the franchise that gave up two picks for Grievous Vasquez.
Oof.
The Bucks at this point, I was reading something that Frank Madden did the other day, where they're trying to map out cap situations for years to come. And the problem is with the Bucks is that they're going to get to a point where they're going to have enough money, not max money, but they're going to have $25, $30 million to maybe get somebody that just got out of his top contract, so he'd be about 30, 31 years old. This last 4 years is when you needed to hit on someone. I guess you could say they hit on Brogdon, but I'm talking like a superstar.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
And the fact that Jabari Parker didn't work out. Wow, I brought up Jabari Parker already.
Yeah, you did. Wow. That didn't take long.
That's feels good. The fact that that didn't work out is going to be a huge detriment to this team in the future. They had so many picks that just didn't work out. I don't know what DiVincenzo's going to do, but I don't think he's going to. I don't think he's going to be at superstar level. So a lot of these guys, I don't know. I probably would stay away from this move. I mean, if you could extend Butler, well, then maybe we're talking a different story.
Even if you could extend Butler, I don't know if I want to make this move. This is a guy who just signed a contract. He just went to Minnesota. That's
what are they doing?
That's where he wanted to be.
If you ever think it's bad as a Bucks fan, man, the Timberwolves. And even Bucks fans can tell they have it bad.
I'm a Jimmy Butler guy. I'm a Jimmy Butler fan. But Jimmy Butler, according to all accounts, and I think that the three teams that he put on his list of teams he'd like to be traded to sort of back up the idea that he wants to go to a big market where he can be the guy. That seems to be the priority for Jimmy Butler. This is not a big market, and here he is not the guy. Even if you throw enough money at him for him to sort of say, "Yeah, okay, I'll stay here," it's going to end up being a problem. It's going to end up being a problem in that locker room because Jimmy Butler is not going to take a backseat to Giannis, even though we all know he probably should. There's maybe 10, 12 guys in this league that Jimmy Butler should take a backseat to. Giannis is one of them. And I don't think that he's going to just fall into that role. He might say he's going to at first when he signs the big deal, but then later on, ego gets the best of guys, man. And I just don't think that for what Jimmy Butler wants and what this organization is and where they're trying to go, that this is a good fit, even if you can extend him. I like Jimmy Butler, but it's all about fits, and I don't think this is a good fit for him.
Also, this state, being from here my whole life, this state is a weird, like, two things at the same time. We undervalue what we have. So Chris Middleton is probably going to be an all-star this year. Granted, the East and West are pretty lopsided. But Chris Middleton, while not an elite player, top 30 player in this league.
Sure.
But we undervalue him. Jimmy Butler, we might overvalue because he played at Marquette. TJ Watt, we might overvalue him because he played at Wisconsin. If these guys went to...
Saying you wanted TJ Watt over Vince Beagle, who's not here anymore, I don't think is overvaluing him, is it?
No, everyone says they want Watt over Beagle.
Okay, all right.
It's the Watt over King thing.
Yeah.
And if Kevin King's always going to be hurt...
Right.
Well, then this is a no-brainer. But I think we do that a lot in the state.
Oh, for sure. I think every state that's passionate about their college teams probably does the same thing. Growing up in Chicago, that was never really a thing because we didn't care about Northwestern or the Illini or DePaul or any of those teams. So we never had that thing. But you still have that thing of the hometown guy. Like Derrick Rose owned Chicago.
But Chris Middleton's the hometown guy because he's in our hometown.
He's here now, but he's not a product. And I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm telling you what the thinking is. And he's not a product of Milwaukee or even the state of Wisconsin or the University of Wisconsin or Marquette, for that matter.
What you said about fit, I think that makes the most sense. And the fact that Jimmy Butler, if you traded for him for a year, the package would be considerably smaller than if you traded him knowing he would sign an extension. And I just don't see why he'd want to sign an extension. And, yeah, he just signed a big deal in Minnesota, and now he wants out. That is a unique situation because they regress back in time. I do not understand why they're trying to recreate an old Bulls team that had moderate success. You might understand that better than me. I don't get it. So I can see why Jimmy Butler would be upset. And it might not even be the Bulls thing. I mean, he didn't get along with Andrew Wiggins.
The Bulls
at all.
Are a terrible organization. And by all indications, Minnesota's not much better.
But if he's
so
not...
I understand a guy being frustrated in those situations. I'm always preaching this. I don't know why we expect human beings to handle awful situations well when they're the most competitive human beings on earth.
Well, here's a quote I saw the other day. And I'll say, instead of saying the real word, I'll say jerk. So if you meet a jerk in the morning, you met a jerk in the morning. But if all day long everyone you meet is a jerk, you're probably the jerk. So if Jimmy Butler can't get along with these former Bulls, if Jimmy Butler can't get along with Scott Skiles, or not Scott Skiles, Hoiberg, nope, Thibodeau. Wow. You got to talk about racial profiling. If Jimmy Butler can't get along with Andrew Wiggins, if Jimmy Butler can't get along with Karl-Anthony Towns, when does that become a Jimmy Butler problem?
And I can see that argument. I'm not saying there's nothing to that argument. You know what I literally just realized as we were sitting here talking Bucks?
What's that, Rom Dog?
That we can see that roof of the Fiserv Forum, like, perfectly. We
have that hideous garbage roof.
We have a clear shot at that roof that you hate so much.
Look at that. Look at that beautiful Milwaukee skyline. And look at that terrible, unfinished Fiserv Forum roof. Isn't JT there tonight?
Yes, just at Timberlake at the Fiserv tonight.
I actually heard he's going to turn around and make the other four NSYNC members perform there instead because the roof's not up to his
Does that really
standards.
Bother you?
Look, oh, it's not finished.
Does that really bother
it's
you?
It's not done.
Does it really, truly bother you?
Yes.
You're not answering the question,
it
sir.
It bothers me.
It doesn't bother me a bit to the point where I didn't even notice it, and neither did you until I just pointed it out. It was right there in our faces. You never even noticed it.
It looks like the top of the Metro Dome.
What's wrong with that? Metrodome was a storied home for the Minnesota Vikings for many a year.
That caved in.
Okay, well, we have a good 30 years before this caves in. We got to hit a quick break. We'll talk with Ben Fennell of The Athletic. Go inside the film room with him. Is he seeing these creative blitzes and schemes that we heard so much about from Mike Pettine in the preseason? It's the Wendy's Big Show. Like I said, we're out here at Caddish Park. It's the 11th annual Walk for Health and Wellness.
Make sure I'm facing the other way the rest of the broadcast.
With the United Neighborhood Centers of Milwaukee, Bart Winkler in on the show, and we're back right after this. It's the last days of summertime, and it's the Wendy's Big Show. Outdoors
last
today.
Last day of.
Is
last
it the actual? Oh, yeah, it is. The actual
falls
last
tomorrow.
Day of summertime.
Thank
so, of
God.
Course, of course, we're outside at Caddish Park for the 11th annual Walk for Health and Wellness with the United Neighborhood Centers of Milwaukee. Lots of fun stuff happening out here at 909 East North Avenue. Come on out, join in the festivities, help out a great cause. Leroy Butler will be out here right around 3:30. Joining the Wendy's Big Show right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You can find his work in the film room at The Athletic Wisconsin, and he joins us every Friday at 2:48 here on the Big Show. It is Ben Fennell. Ben, how are you this afternoon, sir?
I'm doing fine. Always a pleasure to join you guys.
Yeah, man, always a pleasure when you can join us. We were talking earlier in this show and earlier in the week, too, about Mike Pettine's defense in the first 2 weeks. And not that it's been bad. I mean, he's basically building this thing back up from the ground up after what it's been the last few years. But throughout the preseason and training camp, we were hearing about all these blitz schemes and stunts that he was designing where Aaron Rodgers was seeing a free man on every play, and he said that they just couldn't figure it out how to block that free man, and Mike Pettine just had a knack for this. Have you been seeing a lot of creative stuff at the line of scrimmage from Mike Pettine's defense in the first 2 weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's his kind of MO, the overload, confusion, blitz, pressure package that he was going to instill, and we saw a little bit in the preseason. He didn't show us a lot. He really unrolled some of it on the opening week against Chicago, but they didn't get into enough third and long situations to see it on a frequent basis. However, last week you saw quite a bit of it. However, the free hitters didn't get home like they were designed to, and that's okay. That doesn't always happen. But what it does do and what Pettine's scheme entails is a lot of confusion, a lot of disguise, and a lot of moving parts after the snap. So what it stresses from opposing quarterbacks, even though that free hitter is not getting in there, that post-snap processing for Kirk Cousins last week, and it'll be this week with Alex Smith and the Washington Redskins, the post-snap processing and having to see all these defenders moving around after the snap and disguising who they're covering and what areas they're covering, that's what I saw last week, and it really forced Kirk Cousins to hold the ball. So even if those free hitters aren't getting home, it doesn't mean the pressure package isn't doing its job.
Ben, this is Bart Winkler. I'm typically on the morning show. We have Michael Cohen, your colleague, on with us. And between his work and the stuff you do, I mean, your film room stuff, I'm not kidding, that's worth a subscription alone to The Athletic. I absolutely love the stuff that you do with that, with those columns. Going back on what Rami was saying, when you have guys like Clay Matthews and Nick Perry, who you can go stretches of games with and forgetting that they're even on this team, at least as from a fan perspective, how does Mike Pettine get the most out of those two guys? Because maybe they're a step slower, Perry better against the run than the pass. If you want some of these exotic blitzes, I mean, I think those guys are a big part of what he wants to do, but if they're just not up to the talent level that they used to be, then it's concerning to me how he's going to get the most out of them and then ultimately for his defense.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting question and really a changing of the guard as far as the Packers' defensive philosophy. And we're not just letting these one-on-one pass rushers go eat anymore. And there's a big question on whether Clay Matthews can do that anymore. And incorporating Pettine's pressure packages, that means there's going to be a lot of overload looks, a lot of safeties and defensive backs blitzing. And that's going to come at the expense of some outside linebackers and defensive ends like Nick Perry, Fackrell, Clay Matthews having to drop into coverage. So just based off of frequency and the amount of volume snaps they're going to get in rushing the passer, their numbers are going to be down. So they're still productive players. There's still a place for them on this team and in this league, but we're just going to see them used a little bit differently than we've seen lately. Clay Matthews is still an active player around the field. He's dropping into coverage a little bit more in these pressure packages, but he can still run around and he's still athletic and he still has a motor to him most of the time. That, you know, I think is still beneficial to this defense. Nick Perry is going to be the oddball. He's had some injuries over the past couple of years. He got a big contract. He's the best one-on-one pass rusher. So it's interesting to see what Pettine's going to allow him to do. Obviously, dropping into coverage isn't his strength, being a bit of a heavy-footed, thicker outside linebacker. So it's interesting to see the philosophical challenges of mixing in a scheme while you have players that maybe don't fit that scheme.
Talking with Ben Fennell of The Athletic Wisconsin here on the Wendy's Big Show. Going to the other side of the ball, Ben, we saw a different Jimmy Graham in week two than we did in week one, at least as far as production goes. Did the Bears just do something better than the Vikings did in week one as far as scheming and covering Graham, or did the Packers do something different in the way that they were using him?
Yeah, to a degree. I really like what Chicago did. They did not give him any free access. They always bumped him and jammed him off the line, even if that wasn't the player covering him, just to disrupt his movement off the line of scrimmage and not allow him to run up on safeties deep down the field vertically. Last week, Minnesota really didn't key Jimmy Graham as a player to make sure you're halting his progress off the line of scrimmage, and I thought the Packers did a lot of nice things with Jimmy Graham to get him involved, whether that's working him on play-action fakes, like they did getting him in the flat, kind of selling that split zone action like he's going to block the backside defensive end, and then just leaks into the flat for a 16-yard catch and run. I love the double move post-wheel. I love isolating him one-on-one outside the numbers, even though that was called back on a beautiful back shoulder. So I like the way the Packers are moving him around the offense and giving him some opportunities, whether it's a catch and run, working double moves, or just be a beast and a nightmare 6'6 target in the NFL and just let him have some one-on-one opportunities.
How do you think the Packers should incorporate Aaron Jones back into this offense? Because I think last week Williams and Montgomery ran pretty well, both getting a lot of praise for their pass protection, which they should. We'll see if Aaron Jones can step up and be as good as that, like those other two guys. But this is a guy who, of the three backs, seems to be the most dynamic. I just think that if Rodgers is hurt and pass protection is so important, I might see them lean more Williams than Jones in those kind of situations.
Listen, I am one of the believers that I think pass protection in running back is a bit overrated, because there are some running backs around the league that don't pass protect particularly well. The LeSean McCoys, the Le'Veon Bells, we call them scat backs. Make somebody cover them out of the backfield. Don't allow them to be pass protectors in the backfield. Force the defense to react to what you do on offense and leak him out of the backfield as often as you can. I think this is a huge week to get the running backs involved out of the backfield, whether it's Monty or Aaron Jones, because these Redskin linebackers, whether it's Mason Foster or Zach Brown, I think they're a little susceptible in coverage. And I just think the world of Aaron Jones, I think he's just as talented as all those players in the rookie class last year, whether it was Kareem Hunt or Christian McCaffrey or Tariq Cohen. I think he's just as dynamic in the run game and the pass game. I'd love to see a heavy dose of him in any way that we can. I think we're 27th right now in first and 10 run percentage. So I'd love to see them establish the run and early downs a little bit more, then work in some play actions and get him out of into the pass game, out of the backfield. So I think this is a huge week for Aaron Jones and the different ways he can help your offense. He is a star in the making. Let's not be surprised when it happens.
Ben, we would be remiss in letting you go without asking you what you thought of the roughing the passer penalty on Clay Matthews at the end of regulation in last week's Vikings game.
For anyone that follows me, they know I'm not a big penalty guy. I think refs are refs, and their judgment and what they see in the heat of the battle, in the blink of an eye, is what it is. And I rarely ever call out a play after the fact and say, oh, that's holding or that's pass interference. Or I don't really understand the whole post-mortem conversation of a lot of this stuff. But looking at the hit and reflecting back to it, yeah, it's confusing. It's frustrating. I don't agree with it, but it is what it is. I'm not going to pout. I'm not going to petition the league. It is what it is. If the league wants to clean it up and address it, you know, and put out a video or any sort of tutorial or educational training on what's working and what's not working on the field as far as these new rules they're imposing, I don't agree with the call, but it is what it is, and you can't lose focus in that situation. It's frustrating. You felt like the game should have been over. You're kind of confused on how you're supposed to take down these quarterbacks, whether it was Clay Matthews or Mike Daniels kind of wrapping up Cousins and letting go because he wasn't sure if he still had the ball. This is the NFL that we're living in, and if the refs are going to dictate some of the action a little bit more than we're used to, it is what it is, and I'm not going to ever knock the judgment of the referees. They have a tough job, and what the NFL is asking them to do is even tougher in making these very detailed calls as far as protecting players. So I don't agree with it. It was frustrating. Hopefully they get a little bit more consistent moving forward.
That's Ben Fennell. Check out his Midwest Bank hotline. Great Midwest Bank has been committed to personalized common sense lending since 1935. When you're in the market to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, visit greatmidwestbank.com to discover the benefits of simply local banking. Bart Winkler, kind enough to sit in on the show today. And for that, sir, I am going to, if I can remember, leave you a six-pack of Bofording beer in the studio when we're back there on Monday.
Oh, would you please?
As a thank you, Bart
Winkler.
You
get it in there before my show starts Monday at 6?
No, it'll be there waiting for you Tuesday when you arrive at 5:59 to do your
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. they got some fruity ones, don't they?
They do.
That'd be good in the morning?
They have three varieties, Bart. They have the
On the drive home?
They have the Pilsner.
I mean, when I get home?
The triple and the fruit. The Pilsner is light, crisp, refreshing, yet has a lot of great flavor. That's the flagship beer. And there's still backyard fun and tailgating to be had, even though today is the last day for summer. And that's a perfect selection for all your backyard fun and tailgating needs. There's also the Bofording fruit, also a good one for summertime and even the fall, because they use real fruits like cherries, plums, and blackberries, unlike a majority of fruit beers, which provide superior taste. And then you got your Bofording triple, which is strong yet unbelievably smooth. That describes me, but it also describes the Bofording triple. It's 8% alcohol by volume, but drinkable. It's very rare, very strong. It can get you in trouble, so enjoy it responsibly. Bofording is a rare craft import made in small batches. Nothing else like it on the market, because they are using superior ingredients. Only 100% natural ingredients and fresh spring water are used in the production of Bofording, which is available at Total Wine & More in Brookfield and Greenfield, and on draft at Cafe Benelux, Cafe Hollander, Cafe Bavaria, Cafe Central, and Sport Club. I always like it when you show me your Bofording. Tweet it at Rami is tweeting with the hashtag show me your Bofording. It's Milwaukee's new favorite import, Bofording beer. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, there's another guy who may or may not be on the trade block who every Packers fan wants, and I'm telling you, he's not worth it, folks. We'll discuss next right after this. We're live. We are live, Bart Winkler, at, I forgot the name of the park, Caddish Park, for the 11th annual Walk for Health and Wellness at the United Neighborhood Centers of Milwaukee. I need my copy right in front of me because I
am. No better view in town, Rom Dog.
It's really a beautiful view. If you haven't seen it, Bart and I both tweeted out a picture
Ports
of
flash.
The view out here.
Ports.
Just go ahead and hit the sports.
I'm
flash,
honestly
dude.
Not even touching anything. That's what I'm concerned
oh, really?
About.
You know what's
hey,
probably
you guys
happening?
Sounded like you were being abducted by aliens about an hour ago. So I don't know if something is actually happening.
No, you know what's probably happening is something is hitting the mouse. Something is hitting your mouse that's over there to the left of your board.
Oh, sorry, that was my stomach, sorry.
No, it's time for he beat me to it. It is time for the sports flash anyways.
He says you're fat.
Back to the Packers right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.